If you would like to begin with me by just marking your place in the book of Revelation chapter 3. Let me preface my remarks this morning on this one very comforting truth. In a reading and rereading of the book of Revelation, I am gratified to know that my Savior, your Savior, meets with His people on these gathered occasions each Lord's Day. We read in the Scriptures that where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst. In the first chapter of the book of Revelation, we also are advised that the Lord Jesus Himself, the head of the church, walks in the midst of the churches. And it is a comforting thought to know that as He observes the goings on in every church, that He has a great heart for them. It is wonderful to know that we have each day, and particularly on the Lord's Day, someone like Him who is here for us. At all times, here for us. I say that because I look at Revelation chapter 3 and verse 2 and see a message that was given to the pastor of that church. Now my subject this morning may be a bit peculiar, but it deals with steroids. Steroids. I'm not going to be addressing a church on steroids, although that probably wouldn't hurt. But I'm interested in the sparkling steroids in prayers that are offered. The church pastor at Sardis in chapter 3, verse number 2, received this message from the great physician, the chief shepherd. And it went as follows. These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. And the Lord goes on to say, in verse number 2, be watchful, or to follow along our theme from Sunday school, pay attention, pay attention. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Be watchful and strengthen. There is the word sterizo. We get our word steroid from that. Strengthen the things which remain. Pay attention to these things that are ready to die. In verse number 3, having received the diagnosis there in the verses that we just read, we see, secondly, the danger in verse number 3. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If, therefore, thou shalt not watch, here's the danger, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. I will come on thee as a thief, one who is unannounced and unwelcome. And so, we see a diagram unfold. Strengthen the remnant, the things that remain, sterizo. A word that teaches to set fast, turn resolutely to go in a certain direction. Of the Lord Jesus, this is greatly or clearly identified in Luke chapter 9, where it is said concerning him that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. So for your strengthening, allow me to share such as I have this morning. As I was reading this week, Spurgeon put forth an observation that I think is worth pursuing when he made brief comment on something that is observed going on in the life of Saul of Tarsus in Acts 9. These words give indication to me that as he was watching this man, he watches us. He's interested in us. He's interested in us as you sit here this morning. He's interested in you in your home. He said of Saul of Tarsus, "Behold, he prayeth." Behold, he prayeth. Speaking to devotion. Now the diagram is this given to the pastor at that church. Strengthen the remnant. And so let me share with you as we begin with this devotion. Behold, he prayeth. Speaking of Saul, and then he commented, Spurgeon did, and this almost caused me to fall off my chair in the study. He says, prayers are instantly noticed in heaven. How many of you remember seeing that DVD here on a, I think it was a Friday night a year or so ago on the universe, where the graphics portrayed the scope, the incomprehensible depth of the universe and where the heaven of heavens, where the throne of God is. How many of you remember seeing that? And you can appreciate it. That's the first thing that came to my mind. Prayers are instantly noticed in heaven, and it reminds me of something that is said in Luke 16, verse 26, that bears significance here. Comprehend where the heaven of heavens are located. Where the throne of grace is located. And reckon how, my dear war-weary travelers on earth's rough journey, that your prayers are instantly noticed at the throne of grace. Luke 16:26 says only that there is a great gulf fixed so that they who would pass to you cannot. And he's speaking about that gulf between the righteous and the wicked. And it is there said, it was a great gulf. But interesting is the twice usage of the word sterizo. When it says there is a great gulf fixed, resolute, so that they are on the one side cannot pass. A great gulf. Now, that pales in comparison to the great gulf between your prayer closet and the throne of grace. So the idea in the strengthening comes this notion of delay. Prayers, my dear friends, are instantly noticed in heaven. There is no time lapse. There is no audio visual delay. You do not pray this morning and God gets the message tomorrow. You do not pray today and the words that you speak to Him do not take a length of time to arrive at His ear. You may be in your home and about ready to crumble and you offer up this simple one-word prayer, help! And instantly it is noticed at the throne of grace. Your word travels at quadruple warp speed, if I can say it that way, if that is even significant, to the throne of grace. And then out of Psalm 56 verse 8, the psalmist says, "Thou puttest my tears in a bottle." Implies, never thought of this before, still doing contemplation over it. "Thou puttest my tears into thy bottle" implies that they are caught as they flow. It is not that God observes your tears and then they happen to dry on your face and He took notice that you did pray. No, when you weep and your tears flow, they are likened unto prayers that sparkle. He captures them all in a bottle. Spurgeon said that prayer is the falling of a tear. Tears are the diamonds of heaven. Tears are the diamonds of heaven. And so then, may I just remind you for your strength and comfort today that each of us at times need a dose of steroids in the context in which I've been speaking. For example, at 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 5, to a sick and dying king, these words come. So whether you are couched in disease or your death is imminent, the Lord speaks comfort. And here's what he says to that king in response to his prayers. I have heard thy prayers. I have seen thy tears. And then he strengthens him with this assurance. Isaiah has it, I will add 15 years to your life. He heard his prayers. He saw his tears. As he was speaking, then whether it is disease of a kind, whether it is death that you face, what about the demon world? In Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 24, the father of a demon-riddled child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help! And then it says, as he cried, the Lord heard. As he shed tears, the Lord saw. Instant notice. In Psalm 50, verse 15, we read, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee. When? The same day. Psalm 130, verse 1, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications, even as one is in prayer. Isaiah the prophet encourages us, seek the Lord, seek ye the Lord while he is near. How can it be said that the Lord is near when his throne is incalculable light years distant from us here on earth? How is it that he can be there and be here simultaneously? Well, here it is. Faith reckons it so. Faith will either reckon it so or faith will choke on the concept. And if you're gagging on the concept, I just push you to the word. He that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But you must believe that he is. Jeremiah said, call, pray, and I will hearken. And then consider this. If it is not disease, or it is not death, or if it is not demons that afflict you today, what about those self-centered detours of your life? You know, I'm reminded of a man who was commissioned by God to go to a wicked, horrible, dirty, rotten, low-down people called the Ninevites. Jonah. It is said that Jonah, in rebellion, was eventually chucked overboard, and God had prepared a fish, a great fish, to swallow him, which he did. And that's no fish story, my friends. I don't need to remind you of that. And if you have, and listen, if you have problem with the reality of that concept, if you're gagging on what swallowed Jonah, again, I just simply push you to the word. And what does it say? Jonah prayed out of the fish's belly. He prayed out of the fish's belly and God heard him. How deep do you suppose that whale was down in affliction? How much water do you suppose covered over till it got to the surface? I don't know, but all I do know is this, that when God heard his prayer, he brought that fish to the surface and he brought him to a specific place, and as you would have, it was the exact same place that he was supposed to go in the first place. And he vomited him up on the ground, on the beach. But when did he hear? When did God hear Jonah's prayer? Well, right when he was speaking it. We are encouraged in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, ask, seek, and knock, and it shall be opened unto you. When? When you ask, when you seek, and when you knock. God would not have you knock at the door of the throne of grace and keep you there until He is stirred by the sound of the commotion at the door. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. The pastor at the church at Sardis was instructed by the great physician, strengthen the brethren. Sterizo the brethren. Imagine the impact of a saint on prayerful steroids. Strengthen the remnant. It calls to mind something that I read this past week in the book of Nehemiah. In chapter 1, verse 3, the remnant of people were said there to be demoralized. You know, whether it's disease you battle, whether it is the prospect of imminent death you battle with, whether it is the demon world that you struggle over, whether it is your own self-imposed, self-centered detours that get you in trouble, all of that can weigh down on a person and so demoralize them that they just throw up their hands and stop. And Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer, and he received a report back from his hometown, Jerusalem. And the report went this way. He said, the remnant that were left at Jerusalem are said to be in great affliction. They're demoralized. Why is that? Well, the walls were crumbling and the gates were burned and they were being the offscouring and reproach of the culture that lived right around them. And Nehemiah recounts that when I heard, here's what he did. When he was aware that someone, remember now the pastor at the church of Sardis said, strengthen them that be ready to die. Sterizo them that are ready to die. When Nehemiah heard of the great affliction in his hometown, it is said in verse number 4 of that chapter that I sat down and wept. Prayer is the falling of a tear. Like sparkling diamond-like steroid. I fell down and wept. I mourned and fasted and prayed. And here's what he said. Let, and I emphasize, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant. Let now, not tomorrow, not later today, but let now thy prayer, your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant. It must be taken to heart, this statement concerning your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Here's a commentary about His suffering. When we read the gospel account of the Gethsemane prayer in Matthew 26, you know, where He went once and He prayed, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And He comes back to His disciples and He found them doing what? Sleeping. And He goes away and He prays again. He prays the same thing. Then He comes back. What's His disciples doing? Sleeping. He goes away the third time and He prays the same thing and He comes back and what does He find them doing? Sleeping. And in that context, Hebrews 5 and verse number 7 makes this notation about them. Of Christ it is said, whom in the days of His suffering, in the day of His flesh, He offered up prayers with tears. And in that count in Matthew's gospel, it is said that He prayed and He sweat great drops of blood. I take that literally. But in the process of that agony, there were tears. Tears as He prayed. And it says there in verse 7, Hebrews 5, He was heard. In the moment, the Father heard the prayers of His Son. And He concluded after all of His praying, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I have an innumerable company of sinners for whom I must lay down my life. When he was in that garden and he offered up his prayers with tears, he had Dick Barnhart in mind. He had Bob Laird in mind. He had Al and Deb Bruneau in mind. He had each of you who have been saved by the grace of God in mind when he was there in the garden and he offered up prayers with tears. And when did the Father hear him? Right in the moment. And then at Isaiah 65:24, the prophet utters a millennial truth. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And listen, while they are yet speaking, I will hear. There was a man, much like Nehemiah, who was dealing with a demoralized people, but Daniel himself, and it may be that we have or share this one thing in common. Our circumstances, as was the prophet Daniel, may be such that they fall all in and collapse on us to the point where we are dismayed. Can I use that word? Dismayed. In Daniel chapter 9, verses 21 or 20 to 22, we read these words uttered by Daniel. It said, while I was yet speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel. While I was yet speaking, Daniel said, in prayer. Guess what happened? Gabriel flew in and touched me. While I was yet speaking. What does that imply? That while he was speaking, God was hearing and he sent his angel. And I want to encourage you this way. Although you do not find your total and absolute unimpeachable comfort in the body of an angel. You know what? It is true that if you've been saved by the grace of God, you have one. Hebrews 1:14 is very clear. You have an angel. And so when in those moments you are dismayed at what's going on around you and there seems no end to it and no hope to be gained from it, remember that your angel is there observing all of that. And said, while I was yet speaking, Gabriel flew in and informed me. And here's what he said, these are comforting words. Thou art greatly beloved. That's what he had, that's the first thing he says to Daniel. Thou art greatly beloved. Now why would Daniel be concerned about that? Well, Daniel was in captivity. And he had been in captivity from the time he was a young teenager, now an old man in Daniel chapter 9. Approaching probably mid-80s. You know, when you're in captivity like that, you might tend to think that things just weren't working out for you and you must have done something wrong. He says, thou art greatly beloved, therefore understand this matter. And what the matter was about was he was going to share with him the whole panoramic view of the 70-year captivity for violation of Sabbath agreements between God and his people. And in chapter 10, verse 12, here's what he says to him. Fear not, Daniel. Fear not. Daniel would never go home. Listen, every place I've ever been away from home, the first thing I wanted to do was get back home. Home is great. Now, some of you may not think that way, but home is great. To me, home is great. I wouldn't want to be any place but home. But Daniel had to live under this reality that he would be taken into captivity from the time he was a young man and he would die in Babylon. He would never go home. He says, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before God, thy words were heard. In the moment. And then Gabriel says this, and I am come for thy words. I am come for thy words. Sterizo the brethren. So then, we do what we find in Mark 11. When you pray, believe, so as to receive, and then to have. In Acts chapter 4, verse 31, it is said, when they prayed, the place shook. Where? Where they were assembled. I want to ask you again, what do you suppose would happen if the saints of God were hyped up on steroids, prayerful steroids? What would happen to the prayer meetings? Well, in Acts 4:31, when they prayed, the place shook where they were assembled. And then it says they were all filled with the Spirit. Immediately, at that precise moment in time. And then there is old Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, verse 30 and 32. He says, 4 days ago, Cornelius said this, I was fasting. At the ninth hour, I prayed. And behold, a man stood. You know what he saw? His angel. There, a man stood. And he said, great news, great comfort. Thy prayer is heard. Thy prayer is heard as it was uttered. Then you think about another problem that sometimes probably Daniel battled with this about a form of detention or being detained, as was Peter. Peter was in jail according to what we read in the book of Acts chapter 12. At the same time, there was a prayer meeting going on in a house church where he was familiar with. In Acts chapter 12, verse 5, verse 15, the church was at prayer for Peter in prison, and Peter then subsequently was set free, aided by what? An angel. Now he goes on, he goes to the prayer service when he's released. And listen, we will do well to be wise and not make the same mistake that this church did. Hey, listen, if we're going to have prayer meetings, shouldn't we have some expectations come out of them? Yes? We have prayer meetings, and so we come here and we gather as an assembly to pray. Ought there not to be expectations when we pray something? God not only hears, but He's fixing to do it. Let's not make this same mistake. Because this church was at prayer. He goes back after being released to the prayer service in verse 12, and surprise, surprise, he knocks on the door. And poor old Rhoda, otherwise named Rose, Rosie. She hears the knocking. She hears the voice. And instead of opening the door, she hustles back to where they were praying and said, Peter's here. And you know what they told her? You're nuts. It's his angel. She said, you're mad. Well, they didn't anticipate such a quick response to their prayers. I want to remind you that whenever you pray, your prayers are noticed instantly at the throne of grace. We need to remember that God never sends our angel to the place where we ourselves need to be. They assumed it was an angel at the door, not the answer to their prayers at the door. We do well that when we gather for prayer to fully expect that God is hearing them while we are speaking them, and He is not only able but willing to answer them. That is right there, living on the cusp of faith. The Apostle John chapter 5 verse 14 says, and by the way, here's a prescription for scriptural steroids. If you want a prescription, I can write it at the door. Before we get to the door, here it is in 1 John 5 verse 14, 15. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. In the moment. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. When? Right, when we ask Him. And then, down the road, past all of this, think about your deliverance. I take you to Calvary. And there in the center cross was the Savior. And on either side was a thief. One of those men said to Him, and it was a form of a prayer, Lord, remember me when Thou comest into Thy kingdom. And Jesus said, today Thou shalt be with me in paradise. Today! The thief spoke, his tear dropped, It was caught in the bottle as it flowed and answered. So, dear brethren, even as Paul sent a messenger to the church at Sardis, he also sent to the Thessalonians this way to establish them, to sterizo them, and comfort them concerning their faith. Prayer is the key to the ever solid foundation of your faith. Prayer is the most profound act of an active living faith that the child of God can ever engage in. And for what end? Well, the Thessalonians were advised this way, that no man should be moved by these or any afflictions, to the end that he may sterizo your hearts, unblameable in holiness before God. Hear my prayer, O God, see my tears. The very cornerstone of the church is coming. What comfort and assurance that brings and ought to bring to the child of God. So then, my friends, sterizo your hearts, for the Lord's coming draweth nigh. Till then, remember that the Lord is faithful, who will sterizo you and keep you from all evil. And if you have a concept, if you have a problem grasping that concept, remember what the writer of Hebrews said. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Your prayers are instantly noticed as they speak in the moment of time. And you have a loving Savior who is only too desirous of coming alongside by His Spirit and embracing you and helping you along. While we wait for Him to return, let us rejoice in this truth. He is always here for us. Every time these doors open, if no one else is here, He is here. If ever I come into this room, my wife having departed and gone to heaven and not another soul meets with me here, I am confident of this truth that my Savior will be here. He's always here for me. You may go home and you may find where you live the loneliest, most desolate place on the planet, but I want to remind you have been saved by grace that your Savior meets with you there. He will never, 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 never leave you nor forsake you. Would you pray with me, please? Now, our dear Heavenly Father, I ask that you might take your word, sign and seal it to our heart. Allow it to seep into our memory bank and help us to hold on to it and utilize it forever for Jesus' sake. Amen.